Sometimes things are going to be hard, but that doesn't mean that you need to quit. And I think we need to have this conversation. We need to normalize this idea that things will be hard sometimes, but that does not mean that we should run for the hills. Now, full disclosure, I do have a particular group of people in mind when I'm talking about this, and I will say that, but I do think that this is a wide-reaching topic. As I think about this topic, I am talking about content creators, people who are creative, business owners, just people who have things that they know that they want to do, they should be doing, but they are holding themselves back. But I think that even outside of that space, this does apply to a lot of people. And so I find in my experience with people in teaching, and just even outside of teaching, just in regular life, a lot of people need way too much hand holding for my own comfort and understanding. But I do have a lot of grace with people. And what I mean is, sometimes things are just very simple and we choose to overcomplicate them. And I'll give a few examples in a moment. But there's a lot of hand holding that is sometimes required by people. And it's not necessary. Sometimes what we need to do is recognize that there are hard times in everything that we do. Sometimes things are more difficult. Sometimes things are not actually difficult at all. They're just uncomfortable. And what I mean by that is, if you've ever done plank is a very simple exercise. There's nothing difficult about the exercise itself. It is taxing on the body, and it is not the least painful of exercises that you can do. It's a very simple thing to do, but there's nothing to do it but to do it. And that's what I mean. It's not something that is so difficult. It's not a very complicated move like maybe burpees. Burpees is like a 3-point move that is also very difficult on the body after so many reps. But plank, come on. Like, your body is on a plane and you're sitting there. It's painful. It's hard for your body to sit there and battle with your mind in the process of 90 seconds or more while you're doing it. But the move itself is very simple. And I find that a lot of times things are not actually as hard as we make them seem. We just don't want to do the uncomfortable thing. Plank is very uncomfortable, right? We don't always want to do it. But we also know, if you are in the realm of fitness and you've ever really looked into, or if you've ever sat in plank long enough, you feel every part of your body that is developing. It's beneficial, but it's uncomfortable, right? And there are so many things in our lives, in your creatorship, whatever, in your relationship sometimes, that are going to be beneficial for you, but they're very uncomfortable. So let's talk about this a little bit. I had a video that I posted, and a lot of my podcast topics, I realize, I pull from my content. That is not necessarily something that has anything to do with this episode, but in a weird way, it also has a lot to do with this episode, because it's about the fact that a lot of us are also just not resourceful enough. And I'm not poking fun at anybody, because I think that the whole concept of being resourceful as a content creator is just something that comes over time. I think being resourceful in general is just something that comes to you over time through trial and error, after you kind of play around with things enough. And what I mean by that is, I realized, as a person who talks a lot about things that I'm passionate about online, because I do not talk this much in my personal life, believe it or not, I feel like online I always give unsolicited advice, because that's what you do with an audience. Typically, nobody's asking you these things. You're just making videos. And then if somebody asks you for more details about a thing, then you kind of lean more into it. But what I find is, as I produce more content becomes available to me. So it's hard to translate that to people who don't know that, because they don't believe you, or they don't fully comprehend what it is that you're trying to say. So for instance, when I tell somebody to post a lot more than what they're actually posting, for a variety of reasons, which I won't necessarily get into in this particular episode, they'll tend to say things like, well, I don't know what to post about, not knowing that that's the secret. The more you post, the more you will realize that everything is content and that you don't have to overcomplicate it. When I look over my content, it's very clear that I do not have a niche. I am not a person that talks about one particular thing. But I realized that content creation is just sharing your experience, whoever it is that you are. So if you're a dad and you're a husband and you have your mom living in your house with you and you also do fitness, all aspects of your life can become content. But what we tend to do is we try to play by all of life's rules. And so we box ourselves into things that are not necessarily the right thing to do. So you may be a man who is, like I mentioned, all of those different roles, but you feel like content creation has to be polished and you can only talk about what you're an expert in. And you do finances and accounting. So all of your content is about finances and accounting. Yay. But even you who loves numbers and financing and accounting, it's not the only thing that you want to talk about all the time. It's not the only thing that is important to you in your life. It's also not the only thing that you're good at. It's just your career. And so what you notice when you post more often, you start to post, you get engagement with things over time. People ask you questions about particular things. And I think the problem is also that we're not very analytical. So let's say you are Mr. Numbers and you post a video about how you finally got your budget together as the head of household, provider man, new dad, just bought a house. You make that video and it does not go viral, so you don't pay much attention to it, but it does get comments. And the comments are things that actually have the opportunity to be more content for you, but because you're so focused on it's not viral, it didn't do well, you missed the opportunity to create more branches of content for yourself. So let's say on that video, somebody comments, "Where did you start with your budget?" Or somebody says, "That's cool. I heard you say something about automated expenses. What credit card are you using?" To which you may answer the question and then you move on with your life. For me, if I answer a question in content, you better be sure that I'm going to come back and revisit and make that a topic. Maybe not immediately, but definitely eventually. And this is something that you have to realize as a creative person, as a person who is doing content creation, it's only going to help you. It's going to help you to build more community. It's going to help you to be a person who is more set apart and like an authority in that area that you speak in. And when I say being an authority, again, I'm not talking about niching down. You can be the man who is an authority as a husband, an authority as a father, authority as a cousin, authority as a Christian, like whatever, fill in the blank, whatever roles you have, those are fair game for you to talk about those things. And so we don't realize sometimes, like I said, this podcast episode, I just took a video that was viral and I took an idea from that video and I'm now elaborating on it in a podcast. But this is not necessarily something that I have never, ever, ever addressed before. It's just something that I have not addressed before in this way. So there aren't many new ideas floating around in my content. It's just me diving deeper into my pillars. And I think the more people think about that, the more they will realize that they don't actually have a problem with producing content. What does this have to do with what I was talking about initially? The lie that most people tell themselves is that they don't know what to talk about. Content creation is too hard. And again, I'm talking about content creation, but this can apply to your life in general. When we say that it's too hard, when we say that it is too difficult, I think very often we are not, that's not really what we mean. What we mean is I don't feel like trying to figure this out. This is too uncomfortable for me to deal with. Because another thing is when you do give people a blueprint, when you do tell people, hey, just do this, when you simplify it for them, there's always something else with that. Once you solve one problem, there's another one. And that's what makes me conclude that it's not that it's too hard. It's not that it's cringy. It's not any of those things. It's just that it is an uncomfortable practice that people are unwilling to do. And the thing is, the time is going to pass anyway. And as a person who has consistently produced content for a year, I can only say from my experience that you not starting and staying consistent, you will never know this unless you do it and look back and say, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I did it. But you not being consistent is actually ruining you more than you making the decision to be like, oh, I'm just, it's hard. Because it's a decision either way. You making a decision to say it's hard, it's uncomfortable, it's cringy, and then following that decision and taking no action, you probably won't regret it because you don't know what's on the other side of it, but you will be so grateful if you just keep going. And the key to continuing to go is embracing the fact that things are going to be uncomfortable sometimes. It's embracing the fact that you're not always going to have the answers. And it's embracing the fact that you don't need to stop unless God gives you instruction to stop. It's embracing the fact that you do not have to have everything figured out, because that's also not, when in the history of ever have we heard God tell somebody to do something and then he said, okay, and then you're going to do exactly this. Most of the time God says something that is so crazy sounding to people. And then it's like, oh, he told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, his child that he prayed for, his child that he got in old age. And not only that, when Abraham received the instruction from God to sacrifice Isaac, Isaac was a grown man. That is insane. That sounds crazy. That sounds crazy. And God did not give any full-blown explanation to that. God told Moses, who could not even speak very well in front of people, apparently he had like not a speech impediment, but he was not the best orator. He told him, you're going to lead these people out of Egypt. I'm sorry, what? You know? And so I just think that sometimes we don't realize, or we want to fantasize like God owes us this explanation and this blueprint and he has to tell us everything. But a lot of times when we look at our forefathers in the faith, we actually see that God gives instruction and he expects obedience. And I'm not trying to make this a sermon, but content creatorship, living your life, all of these things, a lot of times you getting in your own way is just an act of defiance against God. And we don't want to call it that, and we don't want to look at it like that. Because I'm also going to say, I rarely ever make this little statement, but I think it's implied. When I talk about creatorship, when I talk about things that you should be doing, when I talk about your relationship, how you should behave as a woman of God, I'm running with the assumption that you already know that God is telling you these things. And that's why when I tell you again, it feels like conviction. You already know that God told you to stop being combative with your husband. So when you hear me say it, it's like, oh man, ouch. Ugh, I know I'm not supposed to be doing that. You already know that God has told you several times, start that business. God has told you several times, share your testimony. God has told you several times to do the thing that you're sitting here in your head. That thing is in your head. I have no idea what it is, but you already know that you're supposed to be doing it. So when you hear me saying things about it, you feel convicted. So I'm always talking from that perspective. So everything, even if I do not mention anything about God, please know that it is implied, because that is the operation of everything that I do and say stems from my place as a person who has extreme faith in Yahuwah. And so that's also important, because when I talk about this idea of obedience and not really knowing everything, I am starting to realize that that also is an act of pride. You feeling like I have to have all the answers before I decide to take action is foolish, it's prideful, and it just feeds your ego. Because what ends up happening is, if we have a plan and we know how everything is going to go, you don't realize there's no faith required, because you can see it. Think about Noah. If like there wasn't even a thing that was like rain and flooding back then. So imagine God tells you to build an ark to prepare for something that people have not even seen or really understood in the concept of rain. Like that wasn't really a thing, right? He didn't give him a play-by-play. He gave him the rules and the expectation of how he was supposed to make this thing, how big it was supposed to be, what type of wood he was supposed to use. And that was it. He was expected to now be obedient and do that thing. And there was no full-blown blueprint of, I'm going to do this. It's going to rain for this long. It's going to stop. At the end of it, I'm going to show you. No, it was, hey, I want you to do this. And I'll give you some further instructions when necessary. Hey, all right, that thing that I told you, I want you to do it like this, and I want you to take these steps. God does not have to come down to you and tell you all the things that he plans to do. If he says start the business, you need to start the business. You don't have to say, God, where am I going to get the money from? God, where am I going to get the ideas? I don't have any employees. Oh God, I don't have an office space. What about the business bank account? The thing is, God has also allowed so many people with great ideas, with the ability to do the things that you need to do to provide those resources, sometimes paid, but a lot of times free. And so when you get to this point where you know you're supposed to be doing something and you lie to yourself or you gaslight yourself and say, I don't have the tools. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. You're a liar. Stop it. Go use the tools of your time. Go use the resources that are available to you and stop playing around. Go be willing to be uncomfortable, right? So imagine, like I said, you're a person. You're the guy who's the accountant, right? And you know God is telling you to share your testimony about your family, your faith, how you changed your life with your money because you were really struggling in your finances. And you feel like nobody's going to listen to me. I don't even know how to work social media. I'm not going to grow on the platform. Again, this goes back to the conversation of detaching yourself from the outcome, because I don't know why this. I know why. We live in popcorn society. People want things very, very quickly. And so if a person goes and they post on TikTok for 10 days and they don't see any traction, oh my gosh, I'm checking out because this is too hard and nothing ever happened. When in reality, it's crazy, because if you go work a job and you start that job today, 10 days later, you don't even have your first paycheck. You just know that they're going to pay you at some point on the pay period within 1 to 3 weeks, right? But typically 10 days in your job, you're working on the strength of these people are going to pay me by direct deposit or by check or whatever. And so imagine we have faith in other people's systems and we have faith in everything except the things that God has called us to do. So you start to make stuff up in your head when if the situation, like I said, with God wanting you to share your testimony, God is not promising that you're going to go viral. He's not promising that you're going to touch 10 million people. God does not care about those worldly accolades that we care about. And again, you wanting all of those things and wanting to make your message and the thing that you're supposed to be doing a byproduct of all of that is just, you got to check your heart posture, because that's pride. That's pride. You want recognition for doing the thing that you're supposed to do anyway. And it's great to be recognized and celebrated for doing good work. Yes, that's not what I'm saying. But it's not something that should be deterring you from doing the thing. Because you don't know if God wants you to share that testimony to reach just 10 people. And those 10 people saw the video and they didn't say anything to you, but it sparked a change in their life. And now God does want you to continue posting those videos, but maybe in you posting those videos, you're going to get clientele that you would not have had access to. And this is what I mean, where it's I can speak on this level because I started to see how all the pieces tied together in my life. And going back to what I said earlier, where I would not be able to have a conversation of regret or what would have happened if I had not continued posting, because the things that have happened as a result are not things that I could have imagined. And I know everybody talks about monetization. Monetization is great, and I'm greatly appreciative of the multiple ways that I've been able to monetize myself as a creator since posting consistently. But there are so many other doors that God has opened just on the way. I did not know that they were going to happen. I am shocked at a lot of the things that have happened. I did not have a blueprint. A lot of the things that have happened, I had zero expectation, nor was I even thinking in that way until those doors started to open. And this is so important to understand. Like I said, I'm talking about content creation, but it's also with other things in your life. You are a person who is trying to get a certain job and you're waiting for God to do it. But you're also not sharpening your skills in that area. You're studying to be something. You're going to graduate school, but you're not really fully applying yourself. And then when you're not fully applying yourself, you're saying you don't have the resources. And I promise you, when we say that we don't have the resources, I know it is very easy to believe that foolishness that we tell ourselves, but it is simply not true. And even when you do not have the resources, and I'm quote fingers here, because like I said, that's not true, it does not mean that you should do nothing. A lot of us will make any and every excuse to create obstacles for ourselves just so we don't have to perform. And it is so dangerous. So one of the things that I mentioned in the video that I was saying, like, this whole concept is stemming from, I shared how content creation changed my life in a lot of the ways that people don't really talk about. Most of the time I see videos that are like, hey, post the content so you can, you know, go viral and you can have some money and you can do all of these things. But I talked about all of these things that shifted in my life, that showed up in my life, the way that I think, my mentality, the way that I speak, the impact that I have on people. All of these things have changed in my life, and I would not have been able to understand how those things could have happened, because it's not something that I designed. I was just being obedient and diligent in the thing that I felt like God was telling me to do. And so what was very alarming, I mean, it's not really alarming at this point because sometimes I anticipate it, is that instead of that being a tale of inspiration, a lot of people, some people ask questions, right? Clarifying questions, good questions, you know, things that they could probably take and apply to their own life. How many times a day did you post? How would you say you set up a system for yourself? Like, how were you able to do this so seamlessly in such a short period of time? But there were also some comments that were just very self-deprecating, very, I feel sorry for myself. Very, I don't have the resources, very, I don't know where to start. And like I said, I don't think that that's the truth when people say they don't know where to start and that they don't have the resources and they don't do this, especially when it comes to something like posting every day on TikTok. If you are on this app commenting, don't tell me you don't know where to start. Start by pressing the camera button and talking. If you tell me you don't have the liberty and the resource in a comment to be posting all the time, I don't believe you, because you have the time, the energy, the resource, the phone, the internet access to sit here typing a comment to me. And so this is what I mean, where it's like we advance and we get all of this technology and all of these cool things to make our life better, but we also hold ourselves back even with all the technology that we have at our disposal, right? And we act as though it's so impossible and it's so difficult to do things, when really it's not. It's uncomfortable, not impossible. And when we start to understand and normalize the fact that it can be uncomfortable and that's okay, that is when we will get better. When we start to look at, okay, I'm overwhelmed and I have so much to do, and that doesn't mean that I do nothing. That doesn't mean that I cry about being overwhelmed. And this is not a pick yourself up by the bootstraps. I'm not that type of person. But I just know that when you truly place your faith in God and when you truly believe in his word and the things that he says, you don't believe yourself to be helpless. It's not possible. It's actually a dangerous thought as a believer to think that you're helpless, because I've said this before, when we think that we got it so bad, we're not going to serve other people. When you think that you're so helpless and your life is so hopeless, you're not going to be of service to other people. You're not going to be generous to other people. And that is simply not of God. I don't care if you don't have two pennies to rub together. You can still be a generous person with your time, with your energy. You can. And we have to get out of this space of overcomplicating things, creating obstacles for ourselves, and making things more difficult than they need to be. Because the truth is, most of the things that you're supposed to be doing, they are going to require you to grow. They're going to require you to have crazy faith, because maybe you don't have the capacity to see what the thing looks like or how it makes sense. Newsflash, though, that's not your job. You're not God. You're not supposed to be the person to see it all together. I know we love manifestation and vision boards and see it and believe it, but even those things are not of God. God does not need us. It says in the word too, we don't have to worry about tomorrow. If we look at the birds in the sky, they're not worried about their next meal, and God supplies their needs. Doesn't he love us more than them? Like, are we not more important or just as important to him as the birds that he created? Will he not provide for us? This idea of thinking ahead is just completely distorted, because yes, we are supposed to count the measures of what it is that we're going to do. A man should not make a plan to do something and not count the cost. So I'm not saying that you should not look ahead, but what I'm saying is we obsess over every little detail, every little conditional if then statement. If I do this, I'm going to get this result. When I have this, I'm going to be able to do this, instead of just focusing on doing what we can very well, learning how to do the things that we don't know how to do, or outsourcing those things, or partnering with people, we end up doing nothing. Who is that serving? Because it's not serving other people. It's not serving God's people. And that's part of the problem that we have in the kingdom now. We put everything off on, I can't believe God would allow this to happen. I can't believe God is putting people in this situation. I can't believe there's so many hungry and starving people. There will be a lot less hungry and starving people, and I'm talking about physically but also spiritually, if more people were doing what they were supposed to be doing. There's lots of people with monetary gain and monetary substance out there in the world, and they're not feeding the hungry. There's lots of people with knowledge, with wisdom, with understanding, and they're not feeding the people spiritually. And so we also have to realize that God does provide, but we also need to do our part, because we are his creation. And so it's our job to do exactly what it is that we're called to do. And all you do is hinder the plan. All you do is stop what is of another person's blessing when you stand there making excuses for yourself. And like I said, now I think about this and I say, like, wow, what if I had never followed that path of posting the content? I think about some of the videos that I've made that have been so impactful for people. I think about some of the topics that I've discussed that have moved people. I think about the number of times that people have been so convicted by the things that I have said. And I imagine that if I had not said anything, how many of those people would have received the message at the time in their life when God intended for them to hear it, if I had done nothing? If I had sat there and said, I don't know what to do, I don't have the resources, this is too hard, I can't figure this thing out, I'm not getting any views. Like, we have to stop it. We have to stop it, and we have to be more responsible, and we have to stop expecting so much of the hand-holding, because that's really what the problem is. It's a lot of, we just want people to do everything for us. Another example of this, or an example of this rather, is I have so many resources, and I promise you, I'm not saying this so that you can go and do the things. I'm saying this to make the point. I'm not saying this so you can go to these different platforms. One, you know I have a podcast because you're listening to the podcast, okay? So I have a podcast. Now, the podcast is all over the place. There's never really one topic discussed, and that is probably by design. I don't know. The podcast is not where you come and find answers to life's problems. This is just where you come to get perspective, right? I have a YouTube channel where I talk primarily about growth on TikTok. It's all free. It's YouTube. There's no membership or anything. You don't even have to subscribe to watch the videos, right? I also have a YouTube where I do my book reviews and I do advice videos where people either ask me questions in my messages or they send me emails and they ask me questions about their relationships or whatever else big sister, auntie advice they want. And I respond to those. I have a TikTok and I have created playlists on that TikTok. I also have an Instagram. Somewhere out there in the world, there's a Facebook page. Why am I telling you that? I say that as I just listed off all those resources that I have available, if a person really wanted to quote unquote pick my brain or understand things, I find, and this is just me, I find it very insulting to a person's time to approach them and want to take up their time and energy on things that they have already addressed. What do I mean by that? Let's say I had a mentor that was a person that was making content and I wanted them to mentor me, me as a person who wanted that person to mentor me, I would have to do my homework, the questions that I have. It's my responsibility to sift through some of their material to see if they've already addressed those things. Now, a lot of people, the reason that they don't do this is because, again, microwave society, people want answers right now. But this is also a problem because it shows how little decorum we have or how lacking in decorum we are, because we think that we are entitled to people's time and people's energy. One of my friends that I've been mentoring, I love her so much because, yes, she asked me questions and things, but what's really cool and how I know she's really serious and tuned in and invested in herself, because every time she asks me a question, she can give me feedback on that question based on something she learned from me already. So for instance, she might say, I was watching this video that you did and I understand that you said X, Y, and Z. However, I think I need you to break that down a little bit more for me. What does that tell me? That tells me that she did a little bit of homework and digging before she just came to me and asked the question. And so again, this all may sound like scatterbrain. I know a lot of the topics I talk about, they sound like they're super scatterbrain, but I try to do my best to bring the points home as much as possible. In her doing that, she demonstrates to me that she is not a person trying to waste my time. When we set up a meeting, she's at the meeting on time. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. She got her pen and her notebook and she's ready to go. And that is not because I'm so great, but it's because she knows that at this level in her life, there are things that she can learn from me. And she's very serious about learning those things. She's very intentional about learning those things. And she's also very intentional about not wasting my time and having me focus on things that have already been covered. Now, I'm not saying that you have to go to that extreme, because maybe you don't have time to sit through thousands of videos. But what I am saying is we do have to be more responsible. We do have to try to take the first step. Like, I had someone one time, and this is no shade if you're that person, but I do want you to know that this is something that is an example of what I'm saying. It's laziness and it's poor use of resources. I made a video and this person messaged me and said, hey, I have a business and I just wanted to know, how do I start my LLC and how do I get a trademark? And the problem that I have with that is not that they're wanting to do that. I think that's great. The problem I have with that is those are Googleable questions. They are. They're Googleable questions and you don't have to ask anybody that. You can actually go on the internet and figure out how to do that very straight up and down. Very straightforward. Right? Like, that's not something that is ambiguous at all, where you need to make sure that you're getting the right information. It's very straightforward. And I think that sometimes we don't realize how we put these obstacles up and how we exercise laziness. It's almost like we want to pretend like we're doing the work, but then we don't actually want to do the work. We want to make ourselves feel better. We want to get the highlighters and the pens and the sticky notes and the paper, but then we don't actually want to read the book and take the notes. We just want to have the cutesy stuff. And so we have to marry those things together. We have to actually do the work. We have to actually be willing to be uncomfortable. And being uncomfortable sometimes as an adult is just embracing that you don't know the answer to something and that you need to take time to study that something, or that you need to have someone coach you, or that you need to get some research done, or whatever the case may be. But the overall point that I'm making here is that we have to learn to sit with discomfort. Yes, again, I'm talking to content creators, but this probably applies to anybody in life. We have to learn to sit with discomfort and to embrace discomfort and to understand that we're not going to have it all figured out before we get started. But that does not mean that we don't need to get started. And that does not mean that when things get hard, we need to quit. Just some food for thought. Have a great weekend.